Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hey, thanks for being with us today. Janie and I are talking about standing on the rock, the solid foundation of Christ.
He died on the cross, and then he gave us the benefit package of everything that goes with salvation. And so now he's doing something about getting some houses ready for us. And so we, in the meantime, are just going to kind of struggle and knock it out the best we can until he comes and takes us home. Not realizing that the home he is preparing has to do with how we're living right here and now. What are you sending up, the gold, silver, precious stones, or the wood, hay, and stubble?
Janie, I want to begin with a verse of scripture to get us started.
Good.
Okay.
Where are we
going to
go?
We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. I'm going to read 10 and 11. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Okay, so if we're going to have a steady walk, we need to have a solid foundation. And I think the wise and the foolish man and having some sand, and you mix it with too much rain and you've got quicksand.
Yes.
And that's sinking for sure.
Yeah.
So let's start to talk about what does it take to have a solid foundation, because many, many people believe that in the family of God that just getting saved, signing a membership card, finding a place
to serve
in a church is the fulfillment, and then so unprepared for when the floods of life come and we sink and we wonder, what have we missed? What have we done wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And some churches really do teach good doctrine, good solid doctrine, centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a weak link in how that is presented in the daily struggles of life and application. Yes. I know for us, we would not have had a job as counselors, biblical counselors, if the scriptures could have been explained. But again, that's not something that you do in just a T9C segment. You need to take the whole counsel of God. Choose this day who you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so that's got a focus. That's just not something you squeeze your Christianity into in between all the important things in life.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes your life, and the other things can maybe get brought in to a much smaller degree. But we've got a reversal of priorities going on, Sharon, in today's society.
Well, I think it's become very hard for our children, the youth, the younger generation, to know how to stand in their faith, to know what truth is. Because now we have a society that says, my truth isn't your truth. And so truth becomes this movable thing that has no stability or foundation.
It's on sinking sand,
isn't
it?
It is on sinking sand. And so our kids are confused about what truth is.
And confusion is the first step towards chaos. And when you get into chaos, you can't discern what to do in the heat of the battle. And so we do need to help our children as well, you know, as well as every generation.
Well, sure. If we're not firm in our foundation as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, if we're not grounded, we're not secure, we can't teach them what we don't know. And including teachers at church, at Sunday school church, you know, Sunday school teachers, helpers, volunteers. I mean, all of them play a role in our children's growth spiritually. And if they don't have a firm foundation of what truth is, well, truth is Christianity. That's not true.
No, that's not true.
Truth is my denomination. That's not true.
Or truth is found at the building where I go.
Right.
Okay.
And so
if I go 3 times a week, I must be doing everything that I need.
And I'll find truth.
Mm-hmm.
But truth is a person.
Yeah.
Truth is Jesus Christ. And we just read that.
But how many people go through their Christian lives looking or searching for truth in a system, in a performance, in a ritual,
mm-hmm.
and in a service, an act of service, and everything can have its place. But when you tell people Jesus Christ is truth and it's all in Jesus Christ, what would be the next thing that you would want to tell them to help dispel the myths that they may be living, that you can see that they're living?
I don't know. What would I want to tell them, Janie?
You would want to know what their heart is towards the person of Christ. Because as a man thinks, so is he. We'll probably run that verse in the ground, but it's a stabilizing verse.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a misconception of truth in a person, now we're taking it away from the performances and the systems and the rituals and all of that. We're going to a person. Then how do I know God the Father? How do I know Jesus Christ? And how do I know the Holy Spirit? 3-in-1 Trinity. For many people, they believe, oh, well, God is love, and we're going to show love the way we understand love. So then God is identified by how we believe love is. Oops, sorry, myth, lie.
Okay.
Then we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he is a really great guy. He's like a big brother, and he died on the cross, and then he gave us the benefit package of everything that goes with salvation. And so now he's doing something about getting some houses ready for us. And so we, in the meantime, are just going to kind of struggle and knock it out the best we can until he comes and takes us home. Not realizing that the home he is preparing has to do with how we're living right here and now.
Right.
What are you sending up as the good works, the gold, silver, precious stones, or the wood, hay, and stubble? What are you sending in advance? I know when we moved overseas, we sent a lot of our belongings in advance.
Oh, kind of like David prepared the temple by getting all of the necessary items for Solomon building the temple. So it was all there ready to go.
And it was a joint effort. So I think the first verse that we would like to just start to build our foundation on is John 17:17, where the Lord is talking to his Father. Now, Sharon, I love this. But do you think Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, could go back and ask something from Father God, God in the Spirit, and be denied?
No.
I think probably what Jesus Christ asked, since he was God in the flesh, he was able to give and perform and complete.
Yes.
Okay. Then his request was, in John 17:17, he says, sanctify them, and that's just a word that means set them apart by your truth, and your word is truth. Now, who is the them that he's referring to? Is he just talking about his disciples that he had just spent some time with? Yes, it included the disciples and the people living at that time.
But it also included us.
Well, yes. And so now to build on our foundation, we can move down to verse 20.
Okay.
And in verse 20, he says, not only for these, but for those who will believe. And the tense there is who will believe, the future people. That includes us.
Yeah.
So he is saying, set them apart. And then in that chapter, it's a beautiful, encouraging chapter. Lord, now don't take them out of the world, but protect them in the world so that they can complete the reason that we are leaving them in the world. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking liberty with paraphrasing, but I'm giving the general principle in John 17. And the whole chapter really needs to be prayed over and meditated over to start to get a solid foundation. And then, you know, we have John, I believe it's 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if we're going to live the way we are called to live on a foundation of truth, then we have to know Jesus Christ. We have to know him intimately. Mm-hmm. We can have a legal connection with him. We're saved by grace. He's done the judicial act. We can have a factual commitment to him. Lord Jesus, I accept what you've done for me, and so it's a fact that I am in your family of God.
Right.
But Sharon, we can't have an intimate connection until we know him intimately. Now, have you got any comments on what you would want to tell someone if they wanted to start a process of knowing Jesus Christ intimately, just not as a person, just not as our Savior, but to know him as your bridegroom?
I would say time. That's my advice. Spend time with him, because that's the best way to find intimacy. You can't be intimate with somebody if you're not spending time with them.
And then if you really know that person intimately, then you know what their thoughts are. You know, mm-hmm, what their wishes are, their desires, their hopes. And so go ahead.
And we find his desires, his message, his hope in the Word of God, which is also Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes. And in today's age, they want us to know Jesus Christ as a philosophy. And I've even heard the word Christian philosophy. I'm not sure that those two words go together, but the right teacher teaching it with the right perspective can probably combine it. And knowing Jesus Christ as a person intimately is not what I choose to believe about him. It's what he is.
Right.
He is. And then knowing him, I can't rely on what, let's just say in our own church, I can't rely on what the majority of the other brothers and sisters believe about him and say, oh, because my brothers and sisters believe this, this must be the truth of him. And so if I believe what they believe, then I have an intimate relation. It's not secondhand religion.
Right.
It's not, he doesn't have grandchildren.
Right. And that's a lot of grabbing hold of a denomination rather than a relationship.
Yes.
You know, I'll believe my denomination over my relationship with the Lord, or what my denomination says over what God says.
Yes. And then we can slide into such subtleties, because we can even be sincere in seeking what your church beliefs are, and you do hear so much good truth, but there is that subtle slipping in of the enemy. You know, he didn't come out and tempt and test Eve with blatancy. He just says, has God said? Mm-hmm. And what did he do? He created doubt.
Right. And you know, we do have a lot of churches, and I'm not.
You're not church bashing are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not church bashing today. And I don't mean to at all, but there's a lot of churches who are trying to look like the world in order to draw the world unto Christ.
Mm.
And we really have to be careful that, we don't find ourselves in situations or compromising in that way to try to bring life with death, because that's what the world is. Their techniques, their music, all they have to offer is death.
Well,
we can't offer death to get life. We have to offer life in order to find life. We can't look like the world in order to draw them unto the Father. We have to look like the Father, or they won't be drawn to him.
And stop and think about the woundedness, the grief, two emotions that I found in doing some study recently that the Lord experienced an awful lot was grief and distress. And that culminated in sadness in his heart, because he saw that his own disciples did not recognize the truth of who he is and was to them. And so he would just, and the way he came back to them was, oh, where is your faith? Did you just not see what I did with the five loaves and two fishes? Mm-hmm. You know, and feeding 5,000 plus the women and children.
Right.
And then they go on to the next miracle that he does, and they start to say, well, what temporal means are we going to do to fulfill this? And he says, oh, are you so slow of learning and hardness of heart that you just didn't see what I got through doing?
Right, right.
Okay. And I'm thinking that the word for that is just blindness and unbelief. And we succumb when we deny the truth of the scripture. And there's a couple of verses to me that help make a foundation for us. And one of them is in Malachi 3:6, and it's just very short. He says, I change not.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Now that means what was relevant to him even before he came in as a babe, yeah, he was already established, eternal, ever, not having a beginning.
And it's amazing how much we try to change God and the way we try to reach our society. We change so much to try to reach them, and God's simply saying, I do not change.
Well,
I change not.
I know. And then he says the same, and in Hebrews, I think it's 13, the same yesterday, today, mm-hmm, and forever.
Yes.
Okay. But now, Sharon, let's play the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Okay. Paul says, I become all things to all men. Oh, okay. Well, then logic, reason, and rationale would say, hey, the times are changing. And so we have to change with the times. And they're not going to listen to the old fogey stuff. We've got to meet them where they are.
Okay.
Well, if we meet them at a place of death, then we better be strong enough light that light can overcome that death and that darkness. Okay.
And not get blown out.
And if we think we can do it in our own strength, can you imagine going to a funeral and there's a corpse and you and I missing that person and wanting them to come back and believing that one day they'll be resurrected, that we in our own strength would go to the funeral and think we've got God in us. Well, we'll just get them resurrected now. I mean, that's ludicrous.
Right.
But that's the extreme we have taken some of our thinking, that we can do it in our own strength using the attractive tools that the world is using to drag people into hell, and we're going to use those same tools
to try to drag them back into heaven.
And then we're going to all of a sudden do a turnaround and start to teach the true truth. I've got a tongue twister going there, Sharon. The true truth.
Oh, the true truth.
Or maybe I should say the absolutes. Yeah. You see, when we did away with the absolutes,
oh,
I change not, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we said, oh, maybe absolutes aren't really absolute anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when we go to losing the absolutes, we go to what we call being relative. Anything goes. Like yeah, you said earlier, well, if my truth is not your truth,
mm-hmm,
then if you're happy with your truth, I'm happy with my truth, then okay.
We'll just go our separate ways.
Yes. Yes.
No big deal.
And the thing of it is, the Lord says, I want a family, mm-hmm, and I'm building a family. And I sent, if you want to say, Big Brother in the flesh, God Almighty, to start the process in time. And you can't have a family with the way we're trying in many places today to build a family.
Right.
Because we build with wood, hay, and stubble. We build with bargaining, envy, strife, contention, anger, unforgiveness.
Yeah.
How are we going to build a family? How do those entities work in today's family? Does that make a family more joyous to have strife and contention and backbiting?
No, it divides.
It divides and separates.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know we're under the control of the enemy. And I do believe the enemy attacks unmercifully through his agents. But Sharon, he can just do the little arrow and then we blame it on him. But do you know what actually then goes and executes that little arrow that got barbed into us? Our flesh. So as Flip Wilson said decades ago, oh, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil may have planted a thought, But let's don't give him the credit where credit's not due, because he is a defeated enemy. It's our flesh that we are in a battle for. And it's our will that determines whether our flesh is going to accept the death that Jesus Christ gave us in Romans 6:6, or if we are going to keep the flesh alive. And then let me make a profound statement before I give it back to you.
Okay.
The flesh has survival skills that we cannot comprehend. Do you know, as an example, when people are in a crisis, and maybe I saw something on one of the social media the other day where a car had flipped over in a river, and the supernatural feats that were happening right there with men being able to get the small children out from that car that was sinking, it was fantastic to see what that person could do in their own strength just to survive. And that's heroic. But with the same token, our sinful flesh has survival skills that will surprise us whether we're 17, 57, or 87. And that's why we're supposed to at least understand the wiles of the enemy.
So that we can kick it
where it needs to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whether it's screaming or not.
Yes. And Oswald, I believe it's Oswald Chambers, says that those patterns don't go by praying. They do go by kicking.
Okay.
You have to take that authority over them and mean business. So.
Well, I wanted to read John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, just to give a foundation of the truth and who Jesus really is.
Great.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. And I want to jump to 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
So we do have an intelligent designer, regardless of what philosophies or man's thinking or man's rationalization, that has succumbed to the lies of the enemy.
And sadly, taken our society, at least in America, I can only speak for America because that's where I live, but to a whole level of depth of sin and destruction that unlike I've ever seen.
Right. And we're told that things are going to get darker and darker as the coming of the Lord Jesus for His bride. Things are going to get darker and darker.
So we need to be able to teach our children to stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ in truth.
And we need to become stronger in our light, in giving light to those.
Letting our light shine and not hiding it under a bushel to fit into the crowd.
That's right. That's right. Well, there's many things that I think we probably need to continue on, but this kind of lesson, I think we probably need to ask the Lord to take it and make it life, light, and awaken some hearts that might say, "Ooh, I might need to do a U-turn here. Mm-hmm. I think I may be heading the wrong way." Father, we just want to pause and come to You with our discussions today, thanking You that we have the freedom to come before You and bring these blind spots that we battle, asking You to make Your light bright in our lives, asking You to awaken the hearts that are struggling, wanting to step out of darkness, wanting to get rid of the just the gunk in their life that is weighing them down. Father, You are the designer. You are life. You are light and love and the way. And we take this lesson today, this conversation, and we commit it to You to make it real in the lives that want to know You intimately. And we thank and praise You. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.